Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Howdy.
Oh, hello.
How are you? You sound fantastic tonight. Good mic.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel like shit, but I sound...
Why do you feel sick? Like shit?
Mostly that I have to talk to you fuckers, but...
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
I just started getting sick last night randomly, and I'm kind of just fighting off a cold. I'll be enough to get through this, because my love of solitaire knows no limits, but...
How much solitaire is too much solitaire? This is like the third solitaire game you've reviewed for us.
It's not three. It's not three. I'll tell you that. That's not too much. Well, we'll see if I have a breaking point, but it's not that.
Well, now I feel guilty. I feel like I've taken a solitaire game away from you.
Monster.
If only I had known. You missed Boob Solitaire.
What?
Boob Solitaire?
Boob Solitaire.
Was that on Steam or what?
It has pretty to be. Cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, it was on Steam. Pretty Girl Klondike Solitaire.
Oh. See, yeah. You called it Boob Solitaire, so I thought it was actually called Boob Solitaire.
That's basically
what it was. No. Yeah, I was trying to look up Boob Solitaire because I was excited for a second for Solitaire for once in my life.
Aki found her new favorite game, and we took that away from her.
I'm just taking away from everybody now.
All right, so thus damaging my Google searching, Pretty Girl what?
Pretty Girl Klondike Solitaire Plus, I think, was the name of it.
If you go on Steam and just look up Pretty Girl, you'll find it.
Yeah,
I'm sure top of the list on the Steam search when you look up Pretty Girl is Solitaire.
it was one of the top ones because that is an entire franchise of games.
Yeah.
Pretty Girl games.
Yeah, it actually came up as fourth. And, well, please don't stand up. We don't want to see that.
There's a reason my camera's broken. I'll tell you that much.
Does your dick hit it?
Yes.
On the plus side, it is also available on Nintendo Switch and PS4 and PS5.
Yeah, it is now, yes. Thanks to Asiasoft.
Yeah, so Joe, I think we should go request that for the Switch so I could investigate.
You're not missing much, I can tell you that right now.
I'm pretty sure we've already covered it on Switch. I think Chris covered it.
We covered it on Steam. Oh, did we also cover it on
Probably.
Steam?
Probably. Yeah.
That's bullshit.
You're not missing much, if it's any consolation. I have a couple of Pretty Girl games. They're very meh.
Apparently I'm missing boobs, so...
Yeah.
Look up the game Crawlco Block Knockers if you want some nudity on your Switch.
Crawlco. Oh, yeah, Block Knockers. Huh. Okay. Oh, there's a physical version, too.
That's going to look great on the shelf. Out there. Yeah.
I'm not even doing an intro. I'm just leaving all of this. I don't care.
Wow, that is amazing. Unlike the Pretty Girl Klondike one, this one I actually have to put in my... I actually had to put in my age just so I could look at it.
Mm.
Huh. I don't think my kids are going to be allowed to play this game.
No.
Probably not.
Not for a long time.
On the plus side, though, it's for the next 5 hours, it's on sale for $3.59.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I'm just picturing fast forwarding, 12, 13 years into my life, and I walk into my son's room and he quickly closes the browser and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I was just playing Block Knockers. That's it.
Good stuff. So it's the SML podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Jacob's here. Bree's here. Aki's here. Ryan Niemiller's here. And Ryan, I don't think you've met Bree, have you?
I think she was on the last one that I did, actually.
Was she?
I believe
Bree,
so.
Bree, can you vouch for that?
I can't. I don't remember. But hi.
So Sorry, Ryan, you're just not that memorable.
If there's one thing about me, it's how easy I am to forget.
I feel like I was supposed to be there that night for some reason. I was not, and I don't know what that reason was.
That might have been it. Maybe you dropped in at the very, very beginning just to say that you weren't going to be on. I know I've spoken to you briefly.
It is possible.
And had I known you were stealing solitaire games from me, it would have been the last time I spoke to you.
I mean, if only I had known about your love of solitaire. For real.
No bounds.
Because I really needed my Steam algorithm to be screwed up so badly.
You should see how bad my Steam algorithm is with all the shit Aki makes me look up.
I don't make you look at them. You ask for the URLs, okay?
I have to get the store information and the blurb, and I just end up with like dick and balls in my face
every time.
Every fucking time.
I'm not making you look at it though. You're choosing to do that.
Yes, I am clicking through the adult warning on Steam
for the 50th time this week.
I give up putting my month in. Like, it remembers my year and my day, but it never remembers the month.
Yeah.
I'm just born in January now.
That's fair.
It's easy to remember.
Oh, so aside from solitaire, Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've been on the road a little bit, and now I'm taking the rest of the month off until the end of the month. So kind of just chilling, trying to, for the 18th time, hopefully it sticks this time, build up my my Twitch stream so I can start doing that a little more consistently.
Very cool.
That's what I've been working on. My son's birthday is in 5 days.
Yet or anything?
No, not yet. That's part of what I'm trying to figure out with watching my ever so useless son. I love him, but he contributes nothing to taking care of himself. I'll tell you that much right now.
I'll just warn you now, as a parent. That's going to be like that for the foreseeable, like probably 18 years. So
dope.
Yeah. You got a freeloader on your hands.
Well, looking forward years, to
you'll
it.
Have your revenge when you're in diapers.
I know. I'm looking forward to, like, you know, being in diapers and spitting up food on my kids. It'll be great.
I'm a late bloomer, so he's going to have to do that much earlier in his life. I'm a 42 in a couple weeks, and this is my first kid, so I'm going to be in diapers way before he's ready for it, I'll tell you that much.
I already figured you were.
Yeah, but not out of need, just out of laziness. That's different.
I mean, on the plus side, at least it's not out of fetish. So
That is true. I'm not sexually aroused by it. I just, I'm very lazy. Is that a valid reason to shit yourself? Laziness? Does that count?
Yeah, I think that's 100%. Valid.
Yeah, just don't throw it up into your attic. The squirrels will not take it away.
Yeah, so we have a weird
from experience, Jacob.
there's a 4chan meme about this. Some guy did a green text story about how he fell for somebody's 4chan prank. And the thing was, is that the original idea was that you could just poop into a bottle and then just toss it up into your attic, and then squirrels would come and just take it away. And some Anon, like, actually went off and did this, thinking, like, oh, yeah, no, this is totally a serious thing. Ended up, like, ruining his parents' attic. The house freaking reeked, and they were considering throwing him out. I don't know if there's an update to that story, but
I don't think we need one.
Did he not have indoor plumbing?
No. He did. He was just too lazy to actually go to the bathroom. And so, you know, naturally, you know, you get your bathroom tips from 4chan.
That is true. If there's anyone I want to take all of my life advice from, it's the fine people of 4chan.
Nothing bad has ever come out of that place.
Did you say he shat in a bottle?
Yeah.
How did he get it in the bottle?
Yeah. He might have had a very poor diet, and
he puckered really hard.
I was going to say, or just a very petite asshole. And it just comes out in a perfect Play-Doh style spaghetti right in there.
I feel like a star shape today.
Exactly. Keep it festive for the squirrels. Squirrel's like a little whimsy, too.
Maybe he had a shit funnel.
That is true. That, yeah, yeah. I fail to believe that somebody who took the advice of 4chan and decided to shit in a bottle and throw it in their attic did not have the foresight to plan accordingly with all the appropriate tools.
Have you talked to people on the internet? Like
I have found them to be very level-headed and smart. Exactly.
Oh, God.
Thimber, what did this podcast turn into? I didn't just renew my sub for this.
In all fairness, every time I'm on the show, it goes into this sort of level.
Just turns into butt talk. I don't know why.
And I'll be honest, it's rarely my fault. You guys just bring it out of me.
I don't know why. Like, what?
I don't know. You're a natural laxative, I think. Just hearing your sweet voices, it just...
Oh, jeez.
You just hear us and you just need to poop.
In fairness, so this one is different because usually we're talking about putting things in my ass. Now we're talking about things leaving my ass. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's growth. That's growth.
Yeah. Progress. Speaking of shitty situations, should we get to the news?
That is a dynamite segue. Well done.
Xbox has closed a number of game studios in a shocking announcement this week. Redfall maker Arcane Austin, Hi-Fi Rush developer Tango Gameworks, and Alpha Dog, who worked on Mighty Doom, will all close, while Roundhouse Games will be absorbed into ZeniMax Online Studio. Redfall is ending development, with Microsoft planning to offer some kind of make-good for the unreleased DLC. And then Bloomberg is reporting that more cuts are allegedly planned.
Yeah, from what I heard, if you had bought the what was it called? Redfall?
Yeah.
If you had bought like the limited edition or deluxe edition, whatever the heck they called it, you're just going to get credit. Yeah. From what I understand. Mm. And supposedly the game was supposed to get a patch later this month that would have enabled an offline mode. So then you still would have been able to get all the achievements, even if the servers were shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is that it's just like, it was supposed to be released by the end of the month, but that doesn't mean that it was. So yeah. I mean, it's like,
I heard it was looking more like the fall that this big update was going to come out, because they had talked about a bunch of features supposedly coming with more characters on the way and shit like that. But it's over. It's Redfall is done. It is ended. They're leaving the servers on so people could still play it. Microsoft doesn't usually shut servers down too often, but we'll see how long it lasts.
I mean, on one hand, like, yeah, I'm disappointed that this studio is closing, because I mean it's never good when this happens, but at the same time, like, Redfall, it doesn't seem like anyone actually liked it. The devs never wanted to release it in the first place.
I
thought it was fine. It wasn't anywhere near as good as all the rest of their stuff, but it wasn't terrible. It was very middling,
but like, apparently there was also a they had come up with, like, they had tried a presentation of, like, a new game idea that was going to be a solo campaign experience similar to Dishonored.
And Microsoft, why didn't they let them do that?
Probably because Redfall lost money.
Well, yeah. Of course it's going to lose money. You don't take someone who makes football games and tell them, hey, make a fucking MMO. Like, that doesn't work. They shouldn't have fucked with their, you know, system of making games. Had they not, they probably would have made a stellar game that would have made them money. But that apparently doesn't matter, because Tango did that, and they still got canned.
Yeah,
I think this is becoming a very clear indication of Microsoft is starting to make some of the decisions, or at least put the pressure on, because they just spent a whole lot of money to get Blizzard and Activision. So now it's become like, all right, fuckers, you better make money with this, and if not, cut some costs. So yeah. I think that's what's happening. When it was, you know, not that the, it sounds small in comparison, but the Bethesda being bought for $7 billion, that was one thing. But when you spend $70 billion, I think Microsoft's like, all right, we need a return on this investment, so here's what you're going to do now. And I think this is what's the result of that. So I don't know if, it's probably going to be a rough couple years, I'm guessing.
Well, I had also heard about the Tango GameWorks. Supposedly, that was getting shut down, not only because Hi-Fi Rush was too big, like there wasn't enough of a return on it, even though it was critically acclaimed, but supposedly most of the staff got taken away to some other company. That's what I had heard on Twitter. Like, this happened like months ago. The game producer for Hi-Fi Rush went off and started his own company, and a bunch of the people from Tango apparently left. Now I can't confirm that, because it's a lot of, you know, conjecture, he said, she said kind of thing, but yeah, I mean, if that's actually the case, then that makes more sense than
significantly, you know. Yeah.
Right.
No, apparently, if that's the case, Tango was
fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Oh, Carnage rated us with 2 viewers. Thank you, Carnage. You just wanted to hear the butthole line.
Carnage, you son of a bitch. He's the one that started all my solitaire nonsense.
Oh God, he is. Oh no.
Yeah, that rat bastard. He took 3 years of my life away. I just found out I had a son.
I think you just found out you even had
college now.
It's true. Yeah, no one was more surprised that I had sex than me. I'll tell you that much right now, Aki.
Man. So anyway, who do you think might be on the chopping block if more cuts are coming?
I don't know. Who has nice IP and that Microsoft wants to keep but doesn't give a shit about the company?
I'm hearing a lot of people wondering if Ninja Theory might be on the chopping block if Hellblade underperforms. Which I think would suck, because I want an Enslaved 2 so bad.
Well, I mean, seeing as like there's been pretty much no marketing whatsoever for Hellblade, yikes.
Well, they're just starting their social media stuff on Facebook and Twitter today. I think they kind of had to delay things for a few days because of what happened earlier this week. But
it wouldn't shock me if they were on the cutting block, because Microsoft saved them from closing down in the first place. If Microsoft hadn't bought them, they were going to close within like just a couple months. So I wouldn't be shocked if they're on the chopping block, just because, well, they were already failing. So I don't know if Microsoft's going to care that much.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'd get another Enslaved.
343 Industries.
Yeah. I think that one's a no-brainer.
I think Microsoft is safe.
Yeah, Blizzard.
I don't know about that one even.
Plucky underdog Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're just gonna. We're just gonna get a lot of. I mean, the games might end up being good, but any cool experimental stuff like Hi-Fi Rush, I don't think it's gonna be happening for a while.
Or if it is, that's a shame. Or if it is, it's gonna be like a smaller game with a much smaller budget.
Yeah, and the devs will be brought in specifically to make it, and then they'll all be fired.
Yay.
Yeah. Hey, it's the industry. Sometimes bad shit happens, and sometimes the big players do stupid bad shit. It is what it is. Bad shit
does happen a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, let's talk some other news. Some good news. Nice. Sony has walked back their plans to force PlayStation logins on Helldivers 2 for PC. To say there was a shitstorm over their initial decision to force a login would be an understatement, with over 200,000 negative reviews in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Not Not only did that get turned over, the developers of Helldivers 2 created a brand new cosmetic for everybody too that was basically all the negatives in a graph.
Yeah,
the on cape. The back of a cape. I love that.
Yeah, apparently their community manager may no longer be with them after he suggested that people let their voice be heard, and I guess that backfired.
And heard it was.
Yeah. Yep.
I hope that person isn't fired, because, you know, that was the right call and it worked. And I hope they didn't get fired for giving people good advice that worked. I'm sure they probably did, but man, I hope not. That would really suck.
Yeah. And now there's concerns that Ghost of Tsushima might have a PlayStation login, even for single player. Sucker Punch came out and said it would only be for online, but Sony apparently might be thinking otherwise, and who knows what's going to happen there.
But I can't, Sony, just fuck off. This isn't needed for any of these. Like, what they even suggested for Helldivers 2, it was like, that is modular and easier and better on Steam. You don't need a fucking PlayStation account, because if you're getting banned from a game, you're getting banned from the game. Sony isn't the one doing that. The developers of the fucking game are. If Sony's banning you, they're banning your account altogether. You don't need a fucking PlayStation account in order to get banned from the game. And they're like, and we want a place for you to appeal. There are places all over Steam to fucking appeal. It's like, that just was stupid. It was just, Sony wants more of your damn information. That's it. That's all this shit is, and I hate it. And I really hope they don't do this with Ghost of Tsushima. I hope they just stop Ember, while they're behind.
Ember shared a screenshot of apparently someone's pre-order on Green Man Gaming getting canceled because they are restricted from having a PSN account in their region.
Oh, that pisses me off.
Gotta love it.
And companies are constantly like, oh, don't pirate our games. Don't pirate our games. And then they do shit like this. And it's like, what do you think that's going to do? All these people who can't fucking have anything to do with your game, they're going to pirate it. And then you're going to bitch and complain. It's your fault. Stop being an asshole. And things work. I'm so annoyed by this.
I can tell. Nintendo has confirmed that the Switch has reached 141 million units sold worldwide. They also announced that their next console will be revealed in the current fiscal year, but it will not be revealed during their June summer showcase.
Their fiscal year is through what? March of next year?
Yeah. I don't know why they had to announce to everybody that they aren't going to announce something until they announce it. Why not just wait until then?
So that people temper their expectations so that, you know,
But I'm still actually surprised by that, because, like, that makes sense for normal people. But Nintendo, up until, like, the day before, I think, the original Switch was announced, was like, we ain't working on shit. Like, that was their that was their entire, you know, attitude. And that's what it usually is. They're just like, oh, no, we can't. No, nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. Oh, it's released next week. Like, that's normally what they do. So the fact that they even acknowledged it is a bit surprising.
Yeah, a little bit. Though, I think it'd be better if every company just announced shit when they were announcing it. Just because no one wants to hear, oh, yeah, here's this game. It'll be made in 3 years. I don't fucking care at that point. Tell me in 2.5 fucking years and then maybe I'll care. In 3 years, I'm going to forget you exist.
I don't know. My favorite game of this generation is the Metroid Prime 4 logo.
Yeah, what the hell happened there?
Apparently, died? Some other documents showed that it's still, like, you know, it's being worked on. It's still in the plans, but
I'm thinking it's not hitting the Switch.
Probably, yeah, my guess is next. My uneducated opinion is it's going to be a launch for whatever the Switch 2 or whatever they call it is.
I love the where everyone calls the next Nintendo console, like, whatever it is, 2, when they have never done that.
Yeah, it's like, Wii U was Switch close. U,
obviously.
It was, yes. Close.
Switch U. I would play a Switch U. As someone who owns a complete
Super Switch
set for the Wii U, I would take a Switch U.
It's a Super Switch Entertainment System.
Yes.
If there's a new Rob the Robot, I'm in.
Oh, man. Let's see. More news. CI Games announced that they signed a deal with Xbox to have Lords of the Fallen and Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2 joining Game Pass in the near future, with a rumor saying Lords of the Fallen might come later this month.
Awesome. We'll be talking about that later on. Yeah, I can't wait for the Sniper game, though. I love me my Sniper games.
Master so Detective Archives Rain Code Plus has been announced for PS5, PC, and Xbox Series X and S. It launches July 18th. It's cool to see that one hitting Xbox. I didn't expect that. Something that's not hitting Xbox, Rocksmith Plus is coming to Steam and PlayStation 4 and 5 June 6th. No word on any other platforms.
Hmm.
Weird.
Very weird. Yeah, and then
a game I'll never play.
Fair.
unless I use my wiener. That's the only way to make it work. Yeah, I could.
Get creative.
Yeah, you pervert. I see how it is.
Last bit of news I have is that the Joker was announced for Multiverses, which is relaunching May 28th. And yes, they got Mark Hamill.
Yay.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that was a pretty good reveal trailer. So yeah, that's the news.
I didn't see the trailer, so.
Really? I'm surprised. I figured you'd be all over that one.
Nah, I never played it, so.
All right, that's the news I have. Aki, anything on your end?
No, we've already gone over the stuff I had.
Bree, any news?
Yeah, I have some Nintendo news, actually.
Let's hear it.
Ooh, is it the fun one?
Well, they're discontinuing X integration, so okay, you'll no longer be able fun. To post screened. I have a fun one after this.
Okay.
It might be the same thing. I don't know. But you will no longer be able to post screenshots and videos directly to X from Twitter. The Switch album. Yes, Twitter. Or send friend requests to social media users using the friend suggestion feature. Also, Splatoon will be adjusted how they deal with some things. There's on the customer support page, there is an article that talks about all of the different things. But yeah, they're no longer going to be integrated with X. So you have till June 10th to use those features. After that, you'll have to use your phone or whatever to post your screenshots and such.
I hate when stuff like that happens. That's a shame.
The X Gaming page replied to their announcement and said some sort of, you know, puff spin about how they have a lovely relationship with Nintendo and everything's just fine.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll still they'll help you seamlessly, you know, post from your smartphone. Yes. No, my fun Nintendo news. I might be a little late to the party here, but I was just reading about the Universal Orlando Super Nintendo World, which opens in 2025, is now getting a Donkey Kong Country attraction with a coaster called Minecart Madness, and it looks really cool.
Nice.
They have a whole Donkey Kong Country world.
Can't wait until you run into clouds of bees during that.
That would be cool if they could simulate that with puffs of air and buzzing noises. That would be cool.
Oh no, live hornets.
You want live hornets? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I want those murder hornets that were supposed to take over the world a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Let's not fuck around. Let's do it. Do it all the way. Full out. Ryan, any fun news you want to talk about?
Nah, not really.
Nothing?
Whatever.
Any news about yourself?
Nah, not really.
Nah.
Whatever.
You had sex at some point.
I have performed coitus at least once.
GG.
And the reason it's only been once is because I call it coitus.
Fair. Very fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Weirdly enough, that doesn't get them going the way you'd think.
Jacob, any news on your end?
Unfortunately, I don't have any Sonic movie watch news. Other than we did finish watching Knuckles, the whole family liked it. I recommend watching watching episode 4 of the series, while under the influence or above the influence, I should say. It's a lot of fun. It's a musical.
It's speaking of Sonic, I saw that there's a new Sonic game coming, Sonic Rumble or something like that. That's like a, it looks like a Fall Guys style game with Sonic characters. I was kind of interested in it, and then I signed up for the beta. It's like coming to Android and iOS. And I'm like, never mind.
Oh, gross. Yeah. The only other news I have is my fun Nintendo news. The Nintendo World Championships NES edition coming out in July. I'm pretty excited about this, and like I might actually, if I have a job by then, I'm highly considering getting the physical version of it.
Yeah, I pre-ordered the hell out of that. It's actually been pretty easy to get so far, shockingly.
Has it?
So, make knock on wood, who knows when that'll change, but I got it from Target today.
Ooh.
I can take a quick gander if it's still up as of while we're talking right now, while he keeps talking about it.
Yeah, there's about things, like, Jacob.
So the physical edition comes with a replica NES cart of the original Nintendo World Champions championship cart. There's like little booklets, a physical edition of like an actual like version of it that you can pop in your Switch, and then there's also a bunch of art cards that it comes with. But it's like 32 different games, and yeah, I'm stoked. I think this is a really fun thing that Nintendo is releasing out there.
Where did you hear 32 games? Because it's only 13.
Or 13, I think 32 different nodes or something like that. 32 sounds familiar to me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, let me bring that up. 13 NES classics.
Maybe it's 32 different events you can do?
Maybe, because I remember reading it was like 32 something.
And just a small update, as of while we're speaking right now, it is available on GameStop, Best Buy, and Target to pre-order. It's still open.
Ooh,
nice.
And I guess on Amazon, the Japanese version is, if you'd prefer their bonuses, because apparently that comes with a couple of, instead of the gold cart, it comes with Famicom controllers, which look really good.
Ooh.
Jinx.
Cool. So what else you got? That all your news?
Yeah, that's all I got.
That worthless.
I know.
You make
me all right. Sick. Should we dive into reviews? We got a bunch of games to talk about tonight.
I guess if we have to,
let's go.
Right, Ryan, you ready to lead off?
Oh, I couldn't be more excited.
All right, let's dive into these. First game to talk about tonight: 15-1 Solitaire, developed by InLogic Software, published by Silesia Games, released May 8th. On Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $2.99. Resell and Klondike are just the beginning. Dive deep into the world of Solitaire and the largest Solitaire combo released yet. The common goal of all Solitaire variants is to eliminate all the cards which are on the table. Move them to corresponding pile based on the rule of the particular mode. Every variant will have different rules and allow different card movements. Stack them all. Ryan, did you stack them all?
I stacked some. And then it didn't stack some others. That is what I did. Oh my God. So as has been spoken of on this podcast before, I put in around 1,000 hours into another Solitaire game.
Jesus.
3D Solitaire. That's how long it took to beat everything and get all the achievements. Not proud of it, but it happened.
Yes, you are. You're proud.
Solitaire is what it is, and there's very few things I'm proud of in my life. That goes without saying. Solitaire, everyone, like, the game modes are what they are. There's not, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel. This game, this 15-1 Solitaire, is so GD clunky that it's like it makes me hate Solitaire, and I love Solitaire. It's I started playing on console, and maybe that was my problem. You have to do everything like manual. Like, you can't like quick move. Like 3D Solitaire kind of figured that out a little bit, where you kind of, you know, the right stick worked as the cursor, so you could kind of move a little bit better. This is, you're moving over one at a time with the D-pad for every card. There's no autocomplete on any of the games. Like most Solitaire games, if you've clearly won, it'll either finish itself or there's a button you can click and it finishes itself. You have to manually do one card at a time, move everything over that way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. The worst. It's buggy on some of the modes. I was playing, I won't go too deep into it, but I was playing Scorpion. And for that, I had it set up where I had two full stacks remaining. I had to move from the bottom of one stack to finish the other one, and then both of them should have finished. It didn't recognize that the other stack was complete and told me I lost the game. And Scorpion is so difficult on there just based on the nature of what Scorpion is, all the random chance. Some of the games, unless I'm missing something, I tried everything I could. You can't even play on console. It doesn't work. There's no way. Golf is one of the modes. You have to drag the cards up to the pile. It's the only one that I've noticed so far where you actually drag the card. You can't do it on console. It is impossible. I thought that it was just weird. Broken. I finally was able to download it on my computer earlier to test it out. It works on there. So it's just, and I think what is like so frustrating about it is I know it just came out for Xbox. This game has been out on other platforms for at least a couple years. How have they not figured this stuff out yet?
No.
I know it's only $2.99, but it still feels like a lazy cash grab for this type of thing. I want to like it. I know we make jokes. I legitimately love Solitaire. I want to like these games. And this one, I just do not. It is a bear to play. It's awful.
Is it better on PC compared to console?
Yes, it was definitely better on PC because, like, when you have mouse function, like, the game is just built for mouse functionality, and they did nothing for quality of life for console. They're selling it on console, but they didn't even make a couple of small. And look, I don't know how hard it is to actually program anything. I don't want to be like, it's easy, and then turns out it's not. But, like, I feel that's one of those things that's not that difficult in the grand scheme to just make it a little bit more user-friendly if you're going to sell it on a platform where people are going to use a controller.
Oh, man. Well, it is a Play Anywhere game, so your $2.99 does get it on Xbox and PC, so you can play it on PC if you prefer. It's actually on sale for the next week and a half for $2.39. Do you think it's worth picking up at that price?
I'll be honest, no. Not until they fix some stuff, if they're ever going to. I don't know how big this, you know, developer is or whatever, but you know, $2.39 is not nothing, but there are much better Solitaire games you can play that just aren't as clunky as this.
Yeah. How about achievements? Is there easy achievements in the game?
The mileage varies based on your skill set for that, like just how good you are at these games. Some of them are like some of the achievements are really hard just because the actual game that it's you're going to have to win. It's a difficult Solitaire game that you don't win very often.
No.
But it's not like, you know, the 3D Solitaire, the reason that took forever is because you had to win like 1,000 games of everything, which is just ridiculous. This, it's win one, win five of all the 15 types, and then win 100 total. So it's not terrible in that regard. Some of the game types are just very difficult based on what they are, though.
No.
So your mileage will vary on that. If you're really, really good at this, you can honestly knock it out in an easy evening if you're just like really good at these games. If not, it's going to take you some doing because you need a lot of luck, too.
No. Did you complete it?
Not yet, no. I got.
Are you going to?
Based on my compulsive need to, yes. But I'm not I'm not happy with myself for that. I'm going to miss my son's birthday, but he'll understand.
When he's older. Young,
he won't remember.
Yeah, it's his first birthday. Nobody remembers that one.
That's, yeah. Who cares? He's just going to smash his face into the cake. That's it.
Exactly. And if he does it, I'm going to smash his face in the cake. We got a cake for smashing.
I mean, that's the point of cakes, right?
Yeah.
That's so, not for eating.
Whatever.
Yeah. whatever.
By I'm just any not gonna there. Talk.
Tomato, potato, whatever.
I just want to lick the frosting. I don't need the rest of the cake.
You can just buy a tub of frosting.
It's not as fun that way.
Okay. It's. I don't enjoy it if it's not wasteful.
How about this, Bree? You can take all the icing off of any cake I have, and I'll eat the cake, because I don't like the icing that much.
Sounds like a good deal.
This is... Okay. Ryan, that is it for you, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us. What is in your future? You what kind always. Of shows you got coming up?
Man, what do I got coming up? So cripplethreat.com is my website. I always have my dates on there. Cripplethreat 8 is on my socials, including my Twitch, which I'm hoping to start streaming next Thursday is the plan. And then I'm going to kind of be my I wish I could give you a
Thursdays,
schedule.
Thursdays, you son of a bitch.
I know. I'm going to do it directly against you. Actually, I think because we have childcare on Thursday, I think my plan is to be done right when your show starts. Ooh. So if you're nice to me, you might get a raid of upwards and including 4 people.
Ooh,
that's like a carnage saying. Raid.
I know. I got a lot of pull in this business. All right.
Carnage it's just better than a carnage raid.
It's twice as good from what I remember hearing earlier.
Needs to hear this.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Yeah. I am going to be on the gross. I am going to be on the road a little bit. End of the month, May 30th through June 1st. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. June 6th through 8th. I am in Little Rock, Arkansas, because they're paying me money. That's why I go anywhere. I'm hoping, Joe, I'll see you June 22nd. I'm going to be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Definitely hoping to get there.
And then June 23rd, I'm in Hanover, Pennsylvania. So I don't know which one's closer for you, but hopefully I'll get to see you.
Oh, wow. Hold on. Which Hanover are you talking about?
I don't know. The one that's close-ish to Philly.
Huh.
You can look it up. The venue is called Church of Satire Comedy Club. That's where I'm going to be at.
Wait. Hanover is not close to Philly, man. If it's a Hanover I'm thinking of.
It's close. The one that's close-ish. How many Hanovers are there in your freaking state? What the hell is happening here?
There's actually multiple Hanovers, and a lot of people don't like. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, my friend lives by the Hanover, I believe you're talking about, which is down.
That's like York County.
Yeah, which is closer to Philly than the other one. Yeah, the other Hanover's like up by me.
I am flying into Philly for both of my shows. That's
yeah. So you're
oh my, huh?
Jacob, you should go to one.
It's a little north. It's a little north of Baltimore. That Hanover.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no shit. I mean, if it's in Pennsylvania, of course it's north of Baltimore.
Well, but like if it's like on the Pittsburgh side,
your fucking
it's not
geography,
like,
Ryan.
I said just north of Baltimore, as it's right fucking there. All right. If you're in Pittsburgh, guess what? If you drive due south of Pittsburgh, you know where you're going to end up? Not fucking Baltimore, Jacob.
Pittsburgh is still north of Baltimore, dumbass.
But I said just north, as in directly above. Oh, you're not so invited. You ain't coming. No, you ain't coming. He can't come. Well, I'm canceling if Jacob shows up.
Good. I wasn't going to invite you to dinner anyway.
Because I'll just see red the entire time. I'll be filled with a 15-1 solitaire rage. That's what I'll be filled with. The entire time.
Hey, what's up, Ryan? My name's Jacob. Get him the fuck out of here.
Destroy him.
Security. Security.
But yeah, the rest of my dates going. I got New Mexico coming up after that. I do a little run of Florida. You can find all that at cripplethreat.com. And listen to my podcast as well, The Cafeteria, that I do with Johnny LaQuasto and Brent Terhune, out every Friday, wherever you listen to them, their podcasts.
Very good. Ryan, we love having you on. Come back again soon. Do you have any final words?
Find me some more solitaire games and I'm in.
I will work on it.
Perfect. You know, you're allowed to play other types of games, right? You know that.
No, my wife says it gets me too excitable. So
fair.
Only solitaire gets me. Because like if I play anything else, she's going to be expected to have I'll have sex twice in my life, and she's just not ready for that kind of commitment. So
I understand. Fair enough.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Take it easy, Ryan.
All right.
See ya.
Please.
All right. Next game to talk about, Little Kitty Big City, developed and published by Double Dagger Studio. Released May 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PC for $24.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Will you make your way home, or will you explore what the big city has to offer first? I mean, getting home is obviously your main priority. Obviously, well, it's one of your priorities. Maybe more of a guideline. It's definitely on your to-do list somewhere. But first, exploration. Bree, tell us about your time in the big city.
So I've been following this game for a really long time, and it had one of the cutest social media campaigns and set of trailers I think I've seen in a while. And of course, the main character is a green-eyed black cat, just like my Dirham, so I was going to love playing this no matter what. Turns out he loved watching the game, too, and I had this super cute moment where he first saw the game, and he's like, he sees the little cat, and he gets up real close to the screen and puts his nose there, and I'm just like, I've got the cat looking at the screen, and then I press the jump button, and the cat jumped, and Dirham jumped. It was super cute. And so he totally bothered me for the rest of the time I was playing and kept getting in front of the screens while I was playing the game. And I've decided that the game's plot is probably similar to his origin story before I adopted him. That's my headcanon now. And teach you some... So the game starts with our catto purring in the window. And then there's this adorable animation sequence where we fall from our perch and are now lost in the city. We have to find our way home. It's a playground sandbox kind of game where you can just enjoy being a cat, or you can be a nuisance, like a certain goose game you might have heard of. We can meow, we can use our paws independently, you can jump and pounce and scramble with our claws and pick things up with our mouth. You can chase people with scissors. You can squat down on your haunches and crawl, you can pull things, you can chase your tail and run. It's called zoomies. You can do all sorts of cat things. And with the help of a crow friend, we start our journey back home. You have to find some shinies to exchange for fish, so we have the energy to climb. You gotta find some fish so we can climb back home. There's more fish in the game. And generally, you just get into trouble in the game. You can knock people over to find bread, which you can use to lure birds to catch them for their feathers. We release the birds, of course. We're an indoor cat, so all the stuff is new to us, and that works for the game on a few levels. Because everything is shiny and new to us as the gamer, as the cat. And all that. There's special napping spots, like a Zen rock garden. There's, going back to the fish, you need to, it's kind of a Meowtroidvania vibe in terms of you have to get powers to climb higher and explore places better. Did, you go back and forth.
Did you just say Meowtroid, damn it, now I can't pronounce it.
Meowtroidvania. Yes, I did, because I mean, how often do you get to say that? Come on now.
You don't, although I don't know if I can pronounce it, so I apparently don't ever get to say it.
Meowtroidvania. Yes.
Okay. Go me.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right, but yeah, there's different quests all over to help or hinder people and other animals in the city. You might unlock a passage through part of the city by feeding a dog a bone. You can help find some lost ducklings. It's a lot of back and forth going around this little part of the city that you can get access to. And honestly, like, a lot of the game is like, ooh, what's that over there? How do I find my way in there? There's some different tropes, like the cucumber thing. Like, if you see a cucumber in the game, you will totally like, I found one in the trash and made me jump. It was super cute. There is a photo mode for you to take adorable pictures of your cat with cute hats on. There's like 42 cute hats to collect. The game is not without its issues, though. There are some places the cat can get stuck, fall through the floor. I had an achievement not count all of the objects properly for a collectible, and I had to start a new save to speed run to get those collectibles to count.
Yeah, I ran into an issue, too.
Yeah. And I had a report from a friend who fell into a floor, and even after backing out, it did not move him to a location. He was, like, under the floor. So, there's a few issues.
Yeah, be careful what you do with rubber ducks. I'll just say that.
Yeah, puddles are...
You would think...
a big hindrance in the game. And for a cat, you don't want to get wet. So you have to be careful that you don't drop objects in puddles.
Yeah, you would think that a rubber duck would want to go into a puddle, but no, it wants to go into a pond. So be careful.
Yeah. Don't drop things in puddles. You might not be able to get them out. That's one of the ways that the game makes barriers for you to explore and find your way through.
Yeah, I would love if after you got back home, kind of like how they put stuff on your map that you've missed, I wish they would let you walk through puddles.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice if there were other barriers that besides that would allow you to walk through there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, I had a joyful experience being a cat, and I would recommend this game for all cat lovers. I think I had a good time with it. I mean, I know I had a good time with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I loved my time with it. I put like 8 or 9 hours into the game.
Yeah, I probably put 8 to 10. Exploring
the city and doing everything I could. Mm-hmm. It's not often that I get a game that I just want to do everything, and I wanted to do everything in this game, and I did. So, 1K, woo.
Yeah, you were the first to 1K on True Achievements, as a matter of fact.
Yay.
I think second.
I think a few people beat me, not on True Achievements, because there were guides up and stuff like that, but
yeah,
I'll take what I could get.
Yeah.
But yeah, give us kitty goulashes so that we could walk through puddles.
Ooh, that'd be handy.
Drop injury. It, bitch!
Thank you so much for dropping 100 biddies. Always good to see you in chat. Thank you for the support. Yeah, I have a new goal below the bar or below the window, little sub bar, the bit bar. It says, man, I don't even know anymore.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That is.
Because it was for the X screen for VGM Con, but that never happened.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to remove it because it's just an empty space.
Yeah.
Stuff. All right, next game. Let me pull my notes back up.
What was the price on that? Because I had a comment.
Okay, Little Kitty Big City clocks in at $24.99. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think the perfect price for me would have been $5.
Perfect.
Less. I had to, right? But it's still a buy it.
And if you're worried, it's really on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. Exactly. And Game Pass PC. So, yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
All right.
That was all I wanted to say.
Next
How easy
game.
Are the achievements?
I completed it.
Yeah, the achievements are pretty easy.
It's straightforward. Okay, cool. Just pretty much do everything in the game.
Yeah, explore.
There Okey is a dokey. Tricky one where you have to make someone slip on a banana that I still don't know how I got it. I just got it.
So I have some insight to that, I guess, further now that I finally got the achievement, because that one was like vexing me for a while. There are two locations to get a banana, and one location is in a convenience store and the other is in like a vegetable market on a corner. And the vegetable market on the corner, I knocked it off and into a person, and that was what caused them to trip. And trying to pick it up and drop it in front of people and expect them to walk over it apparently is not the answer. Plus, the storekeepers will come and chase you for the banana and steal it back. And I was very unhappy. So yes, apparently just knocking it off of the vegetable stand into a group of people was enough for me to finally get it.
Well, at least you got it.
Yep.
All right, now we'll move on. Next game, Time Trap, Hidden Objects Remastered, developed and published by 2Cake Studio, released May 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $9.99. Time Trap is a searching game telling a detective story with a distinct realistic visuals, puzzles, and challenges. Jacob and Bree, both of you played this. Jacob, how about you start? What's going on in Time Trap?
So Time Trap is a... It's a hidden object game where you are exploring this like abandoned facility that they did stuff in. And the game at first definitely does not make it particularly clear as to what all is going on. But you need to just collect all of these random items. And unlike other hidden object games, granted, a lot of them are just like, oh, well, I have to search this room. But the thing is, usually the things in the room, at least vaguely make sense. with it. Meanwhile, this one, it's just like, oh, it's an abandoned hospital room. But there's like, I don't know, there's like a cat and like a noose and a basketball. And like, and it's this weird like hodgepodge of like just all these different objects that I think. And sometimes like it gets weird too, because then it's just like, all right, well, I don't see any damn cat. And it turns out it's actually like the shadow of a cat on the wall. And so it gets really, like not obscure, but like it gets nitpicky and just frustrating quite quickly.
And it was hard to know what they were really looking for in
and,
their
and then definition. And then you have to use a hint, but then of course you get dinged if you use a hint. And of course
you press Y to bring up a picture before you use a hint, yeah. So you know what you're looking for. But yeah.
Well, it counts that too.
Oh, it counts that as a hint as well?
It does. Okay. Yeah. Because what it is that it shows the object and then you have the ability to like it'll just point out a random object. I was going somewhere with that. Oh, and then you also have to spot random like moths that are just like all over the place.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you get dinged if you just randomly click on it and it just brings up this like it flashes this image for I'm not sure. And then it just starts throwing in random jigsaw puzzles without explaining like what you're supposed to do with it. You can only use like swap pieces. Like you can't remove them from the tie. Like you can't remove them from the board to reassemble them. And on top of it, you have no idea what you're supposed to be reassembling it into. There's like no guide. Like the edges, like they don't always match up to like what's going on in the background. And so it's honestly, I was just very frustrated with this game. Although I did appreciate the colorblind mode, which if you have to have that on before you start the puzzles, you can't turn it on during the middle of it. But the colorblind mode does provide like an outline, so you could just, you know, wave your cursor around, and you'll be able to find everything that way. But even then, it's like sometimes these objects are hidden behind other objects, and mm-hmm. it's just it felt like it was just difficult for the sake of being difficult, and I was not a fan, and I just. Like after the next puzzle, I was just like, I'm done. Like I just didn't have fun with it.
I had fun up until a point. Like there's a point at which you have to do like challenges for achievements, and then I stopped being as interested.
Yeah. And then also there like one of the some of the puzzles, like you have to insert wires and stuff like that, or like you have to insert different objects and like make certain lights light up. It honestly felt like there was no rhyme or reason to it. You just end up brute forcing everything. I don't know. I didn't think that this was as well made as other hidden object games that we've reviewed on here.
I would agree. Go ahead.
I was going to say it clocks in at $10. What are your thoughts on it?
I'd wait for a sale.
Yeah, I would wait for a sale.
All right. Bree, that is it for you. What you got on the docket tonight? More sailing?
I am gonna go back to sailing, yes.
Yes.
I want achievements, and so I continue to sail.
How is Sea of Thieves with the new influx of players?
I feel like there's a little bit of a shift because there are some people who are like expecting that they're going to have some easy prey. And we ended up sailing last week accidentally with PlayStation sales. And we had a couple people come at us, and they were sorely mistaken that we were going to be an easy target. So
there's actual like PlayStation logo sales?
There are PlayStation only sales, just like there are Xbox only sales. And Lloyd was playing from the PlayStation with us to test out how well we could have a mixed crew, because we can have, you know, people on PC mixed in as well. We tend to prefer to sail only with people who play controller, just because keyboard and mouse is
fucking, yeah,
a totally different animal, and we have, you know, limitations to a point with controller capabilities for playing. So yeah, we prefer to play with controller players whenever possible. But yeah, Lloyd had checked to see if he could, and was showing off the PlayStation sales that you get. And so yeah, we ended up sailing with that because I came in late and didn't enforce that my sails stay the same. And that's like the one thing on my ship, the one thing on my ship that I like to stay the same as the sails. But no, I'd say really not a big deal. So yeah, it was kind of, I think, entertaining, like, you know, the idea that there are some people who are thinking they're going to maybe get some easy targets, and
you fucked them up.
Yeah, we did.
Fucking yeah.
So
big shout out real quick. Trash Rando and Vertically Impaired just both sub Trash Rando for the 16 month, Vertically Impaired for the 74th month.
Wow.
Love having you both here. Thank you so much for your support. Enjoy the emotes. Brie, we will let you get going so you can get your sail on. You have any final words?
You know, I never have anything entertaining to say when you ask me that question. You'd think I would be more prepared, but I am brain fried by the time we get to the segment.
That's fair.
So I'm just going to say goodnight and bail awkwardly.
Cool. Goodnight and bail.
Bye.
Oh, okay.
See ya.
Next game, Lords of the Fallen, developed by Hexworks, published by CI Games, released last October, is available on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $69.99. Master of Fate update just released as a free update on April 24th. After an age of the cruelest tyranny, the demon god Aedir was finally defeated, but gods do not fall forever. Now, eons later, Aedir's resurrection draws nigh. One of the fabled Dark Crusaders journey through both the realms of the living and the dead in this expansive RPG experience featuring colossal boss battles, fast challenging combat, thrilling character encounters, and deep immersive storytelling. Will your legend be one of light or one of darkness? Aki, tell us about your time with Lords of the Fallen.
Well, my story was one of suckage, so I don't know if that's light or darkness. Okay, so this is a Souls-like game, and you get to make your character at the beginning. You get to choose from a bunch of different classes. Each one of them has different equipment that they use, and their stats are stated out differently. Anywhere from the absolute worst class that exists just to make the game as hard as possible, being a prisoner who gets nothing, basically, which if someone I know actually started with that class because they're psychotic, all the way up to knights and priests who use magic and so on and so forth. And then immediately you find out that you're dead and you came back because you have a lantern. I don't know. Don't ask. That's just a thing. And now it is your job to kill stuff, I guess? Because you're just given this thing, it just falls into a hole when the last person who had it abandons it. So you don't really know what the fuck's going on, because you were a corpse before that point. So this is a big old new, I was going to say bright world, and then I was like, wait, no, this is a Souls game, that doesn't work. A big old shitty world, there we go, and it wants to kill you every step of the way. So, lots of the people here are either undead monsters, or they're people who have had their brains twisted and now are just raving psychopaths. And yeah, so you meet up with some sane people pretty early on, thankfully, and they're like, yeah, we need you to do us a lot of favors, because you have that lantern, and that means you're not going to die. Which is a lie, because I died a lot with that lantern anyways. and so, yeah, the gimmick of this game is that lantern, one, and two, that there's a secondary world. You have the primary world, and then you have the world of the dead, which is generally the same land with a bunch of horrific shit all over the place, and new enemies popping up, and the longer you're in it, the more and more enemies show up until a super enemy shows up and kills the shit out of you until you get really high level, and then you can kill it back. I am not at that level. It kills the shit out of me every time. So be prepared for that. And the lantern gives you... It's not just a lantern that, oh, it brings you back to life, blah, blah, blah. It also allows you to do some special attacks, as well as do some traversal. When you're in the land of the living, you can gather charges by slowly attacking and killing enemies. They slowly fill up the charge. But once you have a charge, you can use a special attack to suck the soul out of an enemy for a short period of time. And with that, you can also toss the soul off in a direction to, and the mortal body will zap over to that, to where it is after a small period of time. You can attack the soul to do withered damage to them, which is basically if you take damage, you can attack back and get it refilled up. But if you get hit again, you lose all of it unless you use a healing item. So it's a nice little way of keeping combat flowing and making sure people stay aggressive in the game. But you're doing that to an enemy, so yay! You can also do a really fun little thing by throwing the soul off to the side, like, of a cliff or some other really tall fucking object, and then the body goes over to it, and then they fall to their death, and it's fantastic. I love it. When you're in the land of the dead, which you can either get killed and go there, or you can actively choose to go there of your own volition, and you do that because the world changes to a degree. Often you can get to places you couldn't get to in the land of the living, and you can just shine your lantern and see some of the stuff and enter and walk around in places where there isn't ground when there isn't the lantern, but you can't actually grab anything or do any of the puzzly stuff unless you're actually in the land of the dead. So when you go there, there's sometimes platforms that you can see like a corpse in, and you can do the same soul grab with that, but it doesn't take a charge and it pulls the platform to you, and then you can get on it and you can move around and stuff. There's also doors that you have to find corpses and pop them out of existence to kill basically this umbral thing, which is just a big-eyed, fleshy entity thingy that just covers doors and is a fucking nuisance. Doesn't hurt you or attack you or do anything. It just sits there like a slob. And once you get all the corpses out of the way, the door will open because the umbral thing dies. So that's great. There's also fleshy chests, basically, again, a person, but they look to be pregnant, and you use it and you soul rip and the body explodes and leaves an item for you. So cool. However, when you're in this land, you have to deal with the enemies in the normal area. Funnily, you can find platforms that don't exist in the land of the living. While you might still have to fight the enemies that are in the land of the living at the same time, even though you're in the land of the dead, they can't cross over onto sections that don't exist for them. So that world is its own thing. So if there's like an extended platform in the land of the dead that goes on quite a bit further than the one in the land of the living, they're stuck there, and you can attack them from range or something. It's really funny. However, you also have creatures that start spawning in a few different types of shambling monstrosities that start showing up, and the longer that you're in it, the more and more of them show up. So it's a good idea to get either to a safe spot, which you can rest at, which respawns all the enemies you killed, but also brings you back to the land living, or there's some effigies that you can find around that you can bring yourself into the land of the living. And once you've done that, if you were like killed in the first place to go to the land of the dead, you bring yourself back to life, you now have an extra life again. So it's not like, oh, you die two times and it's back to the save point for you. It's no, you have to die in the land of the living, period, in order to be sent back to your last save. So, yeah. There is some issues with the game. Normal combat's really nice. Bosses, however, fuck my life. They are super fast. They're really, really, really fast. And they, like all Souls-like combat, they hit like fucking Mack trucks. The problem is, I'm decently-ish fast. I'm in the medium range in this game. And I chose a character that you only get if you have the deluxe edition, unless you've beaten the game at least once and gotten it unlocked, which gave me really good stats and a good starting weapon. And these things just danced around me and kicked the shit out of me, which really sucks. They're so much faster. However,
here's a question. Did you mess with the Master of Fate stuff?
Yes, I did. When you're starting the game, you can mess with that stuff, and only then. Once you've actually started the game, you can't mess with it anymore until you get to New Game Plus. Some of that stuff, lots of it is making life harder for yourself if you want it to. Like, you can get it to where there's significantly more enemies because they nerfed that in a patch. And this basically brings it back to that point if you have played it a bunch and you're like, I just want maximum amount of enemies to kill shit out of. You can flip that on. I did not because I'm not psychotic. There's random enemies, so you might find high-level enemies right at the beginning, or weak enemies, who fucking knows. I didn't turn that on because I was just starting and I was going to die if I did that. There's some that's randomized loot. So you might find a really good weapon right at the beginning, or you might find nothing but consumables for, you know, the next 15 straight hours. Who knows? I'm not willing to test that theory, because the game's hard enough when you start. Then you also have stuff that deals with your vestiges, and vestiges are your respawn points, basically. You can set it to where they decay over time.
Ooh.
And disappear. Yeah, you can even set it to where they don't exist, because a vestige is one that you place yourself, and it will decay over time in the base game. I don't know how long it takes, but you can make it to where those don't exist in the first place, and you only have standard save points, which are few and far between. I would not suggest that unless you've played it a bunch. Or you can set it to where they live forever. If you place it, it's there until you place the next one, because then it's automatically gotten rid of. And I chose that option because I didn't fully understand the system in the first place, but I was like, this has to make life easier, right? And it does. It really does. I didn't really understand it, but I was like, this just keeps something forever. That has to be good, because this isn't an enemy. So I chose that option. That was the only option I added on, because everything else changes up the game fundamentally, often possibly making it significantly harder. So not something I would... Most of them are suggested for you not to play with unless you've beaten the game at least once. And some of them are suggested not to do unless you've beaten the game on the hardest difficulty, just because otherwise you're going to get fucked. There is one other problem with the game.
Okay.
It's basically dead. There is multiplayer. People can invade you, or they can come and help you. I don't know how many hours I've sat there waiting, hoping someone would come in and save me and help me against bosses. And it's pretty dead, sadly. So there doesn't seem to be a huge community with this, because it is cross-platform. Like, one of the people I finally got to help me with the first boss, they were on a PlayStation 5. How do I know? It told me right next to their name that it was a PS5, which was kind of cool. So, hey, Sony, you done something right. Congratulations. Thank you. So the fact that that was one of only two players I was able to find in 3 days of looking on a fairly regular basis kind of... isn't the greatest of news, because you're probably going to need some help. I know I do. I need so much help. So much.
Well, the game clocks in at $70. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm conflicted, because on one hand, most of the standard mobs, I find it fairly fun to fight against them. It's not too bad. The saving isn't too bad. Getting their soul stuff in this game isn't terrible. But the bosses are so fucking unnecessarily hard, and there's next to no one playing the game anymore, seemingly. So you can't get help. So if you're really into specifically like Dark Souls, this is more the slower, methodical type of combat with that, where everything is much more weighty. So if you're really into that, sure, I think this is for you. I think it's probably worth it for you. If you're into stuff like Bloodborne or Lies of P, stuff like that, this is going to be really slow, and you're probably not going to be anywhere near as into it. And with the bosses still fighting like they're from stuff like Lies of P, it's going to be very difficult for you, so I wouldn't suggest it for those people. I don't think this is a beginner-friendly Soulsborne experience, so only for those who like Dark Souls, I think. Everyone else, wait for a massive 50% or so sale, if you get it at all.
Well, I know it has been on a decent sale, and there is, of course, that news we got earlier that it's going to be hitting Game Pass. What are your thoughts on that?
If it's on Game Pass, fuck it. You might as well try it. See if it's up your alley. And if it is, then great. Fucking help me, please.
Yeah, I'm checking. It looks like it was $41.99 back in March, so it has been on sale.
Yeah, it's going to probably be on sale a bunch in the future as well. So, yeah, I think it's worth it on sale if you like Soulsborne games. If you don't, this really isn't going to fucking change your mind at all, because the lantern gimmick is very complicated at first. Once you understand it, it's very simplistic, but yeah, the game doesn't really teach you anything about it all that well. So,
well, next game to talk about is Erebon Shadow Legacy, developed and published by Baby Robot Games, released April 10th on Steam for $24.99. Erebon Shadow Legacy is a fast-paced stealth platformer game where you become Ayana, the last descendant of a forgotten race, harness mystical shadow powers, high-tech gadgets, and avoid or kill to uncover the truth about your past and the key to saving a dying, morally gray universe. Aki, what is going on in Erebon Shadow Legacy?
Okay, have any of you heard of this really indie game called Eragami? If you have, this is the third one. I don't care if this group like is made
really
of the same
people.
You're
close to your mic right now.
Oops, sorry. I don't care if this team is made out of the same people from Lensworks or not, this is Origami 3 as far as I'm concerned. It plays exactly like it. It is fucking fantastic. You play as a young woman who is able to, just by her natural biology of her race, she's able to disappear into the shadows. And when I mean disappear, I don't mean she goes invisible. I mean she sinks into the fucking ground like a goddamn ninja. And she just travels through the ground as long as there's shadow. She can travel up walls. It doesn't matter. She's awesome, and I love her. And you are seemingly the last of your kind. You don't remember your parents or anything. You've been just kind of living on your own, and you are offered a job to work at Helios, which is a giant energy company that's basically brought energy to the entirety of the universe. Cheap, really good, makes life so much better type perfect energy. And well, turns out they want you there, and then it turns out very quickly that they seem to want you dead. So you escape, and now you're with a bunch of renegades who have been against Helios this entire time, and you're trying to learn the truth about your people and about Helios and what's going on, because you find this weird centrifugal force machine that seems to have a soul or the memories or something of your people that interacts with you. So you're off on an adventure to find more of these to learn about your people and their past. And yeah, there's 8 levels to this game. Each one of them is, once you know the path, it takes like 30 minutes to beat a level, but your first your first run of it's probably going to be an hour or two each level. And in that, you're basically mostly fighting against machines, which are made specifically to hunt your people. So, you know, good company all around. Occasionally you do find some workers that you can also kill the shit out of if you want. It has three different play styles, kind of. It realistically has two, but there's three different ending styles that you can have done. One is ghost, which is simply don't be fucking seen, because this is a stealth game. The other is, another is mercy, which is don't fucking kill anything. Don't kill the robots. Don't kill the people. Just be very sneaky and no one knows you're there ever. Period. The end. Great. I love that. That's in most stealth games, if the stealth game's any good. And then you have the other option, which is ruthless, and that is for killing literally everything that fucking moves, which is really fun. The thing about that, though, is you can't pick up anything you've killed, or maybe you just don't care to. I'm not sure. So enemies will see the corpses of their allies and will react. Some of the robots are even able to repair robots that are destroyed, so that's a mechanic you need to watch out for. Humans, if they see you, they'll set up an alert, whether you're being hostile or not. If they catch sight of you or if they hear you clap, they will just run and set off alarms to get a lot of stuff on you. Machines, if they hear you clap, because that is the whistle of this game, they will come and try and find what was making the noise, and you can clap enough times that they actually get alerted that clearly someone is here, which is not good. But so you can do that. Oh, go ahead.
So if they hear you clapping cheeks, you're in trouble.
Yeah, if you do it too much, yes. So, and that is exactly what that clap actually sounds like, realistically speaking.
Fantastic.
Yeah. As you play through the game, you get to pick up tech items that allow you to craft new parts of your gear. There's only four different parts, but it modifies the gear. Like, at first you create a sonar, but you give it new powers as you make it stronger. You got a electro mine that you can allow it to attack, hit multiple people instead of just one. Binoculars, because that's apparently someone thought that was useful in a stealth game that's really up close. I never found a single use for the binoculars, literally ever. And stuff like that. There's another item, but I don't remember what it was, to be honest. Because I didn't use really any of the items at all until it came to achievements. Because I'm a stealth gamer. That's just what I do. After you play through it one time, you can obviously go through. And so if you get Ruthless the first time, you can run through and go get the Mercy badge at the end. So you just have all the badges, because you should have Ghost no matter what you play in, because this is a stealth game. Please be stealthy, people. I beg you, please. There is one drawback to this system. Every time you talk to one of those weird centrifugal force machines, you get a choice between two different types of power-ups, a non-lethal and an extremely, extremely lethal one. After you choose that, you can't go back and choose the other one. So in an entire playthrough, you should stick with either lethal or non-lethal, because there's achievements related to having the full lethal and the full non-lethal loadouts, as well as achievements for using different abilities within each one of them. So you're going to end up having to play the game over again from scratch a second time in order to get all the achievements in the game, which is really irritating. I don't mind replaying levels just to have everything filled out, because that's what I would prefer, if I could just go back and replay those levels, get those abilities, and just have a character that has everything unlocked, just to be a Billy Badass.
But no, you're going to end up having to play through it twice. It's after you've beaten it once, it's not going to take a whole lot of time to do it the other way, because it's not like when you have the non-lethal powers, it doesn't mean you can't be lethal. You can still walk up behind a motherfucker and shank him. It doesn't matter. Like my lethal playthrough, I got Mercy, Ruthless, and Ghost on every one of them. Why? Because I could. And on my non-lethal one, I'm probably going to kill everybody just because it's fucking faster to deal with stuff. it's a great non-lethal playthrough.
The purpose of a non-lethal, yeah.
Yeah, you know, anyway, I don't care, though.
The game clocks in at $25. What are your thoughts on it?
Yes, go get it. If you liked Origami 1 and 2, or either of them for that matter, this is literally the third game in that. I refuse to believe otherwise. This doesn't play like it. This is it. It is so amazing. If you like stealth games, to me, the Origami games, and therefore this as well, are like the pinnacle of stealth games. I love these. I cannot suggest them highly enough. If you're not into stealth games, maybe try a different game first, because these can be a little difficult. I think this, out of all of them, is probably the easiest. However, things like Splinter Cell Blacklist is going to be a lot easier for you to start off with. But if you've played some stealth games, I totally recommend this, because this is on the easier side, thankfully, whereas the Origami games are much harder. So yes, go get it, folks. Yeah, just get it. Buy it. It's worth it.
Cool. All right, next game, Sklash, developed by Bevel Bakery, published by Maximum Entertainment and Just for Games. Released May 2nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. Sklash is a plug-and-play 2D samurai fighting game full of tension, where one hit is enough to kill. Play as a hand-drawn samurai in beautiful painted settings and fight your opponent in epic solemn duels where each move matters. Manage well your stamina, breath, and take your time to land a deadly hit. Jacob, what's going on in Sklash?
So Sklash, like, is that really how it's pronounced?
As far as I know,
because I was wondering if it was like S Clash. I don't know. Anyway, Sklash, whatever. So Sklash is this samurai dueling game, which the most like mostly you're supposed to be playing it online, and you do have that option. However, when I went online, despite the ability to choose multiple servers, I never found anybody online, so I can't really comment on that thing. But thankfully, there is a story mode in it, and the story is pretty cool. So you play as this young samurai warrior who finally passes your training, and you're allowed to participate in battles. And so you get to, so you finally have your big battle, and you run into the enemy general, and he tells you some information, and all of a sudden, of course, everything that you previously knew turns out you don't know what's like which way's up. And so you decide that you're going to go enlist the help of the gods to go fix all the crap between humans and hopefully save the day. This game, honestly, it is gorgeous to look at. The hand-drawn animations, like the backgrounds, it's beautifully done. With the gameplay, this is a game of patience. This is not a game of you running, like, immediately running headfirst into everything and, you know, fucking everyone's day up. This is a game of one-hit kills, and you will be on the receiving end of those one-hit kills quite often. Hell, thankfully, yeah. Did you get to play this or no?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I bought this to chime in, and I am absolutely awful at it.
Yeah, I am
too. You're me shocked.
As I said, this is a game of patience, and pretty much you have to decide when you're going to attack, when you're going to block, and when you're going to dodge. And the dodging and blocking those controls seem to be a bit hinky, but as I said, thankfully, like the game saves often, and you pretty much just reload from like 20 feet from where you died.
It's very generous with the saves.
Yes, so thank you to the devs for that. But my wife did get to hear me cursing a bunch at this game because it's like, oh, this is bullshit. I like, you know, apparently my blocks don't mean anything. Like, but, you know, breathe, like, reload, you know, go back in there.
You got to play defensively in this game. Like, if you try
a lot,
if you try going on the offensive, you will die.
Yeah, quite frequently. More often than not, it's better for you to let the enemy make the first move, and then after, like, while they're putting their sword back from their swing, that's when you hop in there and kill them, hopefully. There are not necessarily bosses. I mean, there are bosses in the game, but higher level enemies that will take more than one hit. They're sprinkled throughout. And yeah, it's just, thankfully, the game's plot is awesome enough that I'm willing to deal with the frustrations of this game. And it's definitely not a bad game. I was honestly really surprised with it. You know, because I'm not really used to this type of game. And I'm also not a big fan of games where I just have to be on defense most of the time. I really just want to go in and, you know, just kill everybody.
Yeah.
But this is a game that definitely takes time and strategy, and it's pretty rewarding if you're willing to put in the time for it. I was pleasantly surprised. I wish that there had been people online playing it.
Yeah.
So I could have tried out the online features, but
spoilers, you would have died.
Yeah, no doubt. But surprisingly, I'm pretty pleased with this game. Like, this was a pleasant surprise.
Well, clocks in at $10. What do you think?
Oh wow, that's it. Jeez. Okay, yeah, totally. For $10, honestly, for $10, it's worth the single player experience alone. Like, fingers crossed, you know, people start hopping online to play this thing, because I'd like to check that out too. But yeah, like, even if you only get to play the single player version, yeah, $10 is great.
Cool.
I'm all for it. Like, it's a beautiful game. Just go in there knowing that you're going to die a lot, and you have to have a strategy.
Cool.
Well, strategy should be to die a lot.
Yeah, that is fair.
Well, the strategy is to try to not die a lot.
Yeah. One final game to talk about tonight, Horrific Xanatorium, developed by Pagaretta, published by Chemco, released April 26th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $7.99. A world where Spilla, a virus that contains delusions and hallucinations, has become an epidemic. A horror visual novel set in a hospital where patients are isolated. Aki, what is going on in Horrific Xanatorium?
Okay, in this is a visual novel. I guess I should point that out first. So, most of you have probably clicked off now, I understand. for everyone else who is here, this is an adventure one. There's not a ton of choices, and I don't think they make a ton of difference until later on. But in this, you play as a young man. You are being brought to a sanatorium. That they spell with an X for some reason, because you have a mental illness, and what's better for people with mental illnesses than sitting them up in the mountains in nature away from other people so you don't have to look or hear them? You know, it's great fun. So you're brought out there because you have this new weird problem called Spira. And it has started hitting people. They think it's maybe airborne, maybe bloodborne. No one's really sure. And there's no cure for it. But it gives you really bad hallucinations. It gives you schizophrenia. Okay, that's basically what you get. You get schizophrenia. It's fun. You just have to get the fuck over it. Which is less fun. So very quickly, you know, you're set up there and you find someone from your childhood, a girl you used to have a crush on back in elementary school. It happens to be there, and basically you spend your time trying to keep her happy, because otherwise she's going to jump off the roof of the hospital, because the world's going to end seems to be her delusion. She is convinced utterly and wholly that the world is going to end soon, and she doesn't want to be around when it does. So you instead have to keep her happy, make her laugh, in order to keep her around. So that is your plan, because you still have the hots for her. And it very quickly, you know, as the game continues, it's not a particularly long game. It's like, for your first run of it, it's probably 4 or 5 hours long. At absolute most, every other playthrough from there, to get the other endings, because there's like 6, 7 of them, is very quick. But you end up finding out some interesting things about the virus later on that really completely changed the game and just further the concept of I don't know what's real and what isn't, which I did not appreciate as a player. I did not like that, because that hit a little too close to home for my comfort. As someone who does suffer from schizophrenia, that I started freaking out because I didn't know what was going on in the game anymore.
Jeez.
Yeah. For everyone else playing this game, this will give you a good idea of schizophrenia. Because until I actually got the ending, I didn't know what was real and what wasn't in the game once they gave you more information on Spira. So it's amazingly well done. And yeah, I can't tell you a lot about the game, because the first, like, 70% of it is just you interacting with the girl and trying to make her happy, and the rest of it spoils too much. So,
well, then I guess we could just hop to a rating. It's $8. What do you think of it?
I think it's totally worth it. I really enjoyed it. This, you can basically treat this like a kinetic visual novel. There's most of the choices until obvious points don't really make any difference in the game. So it gives you a slightly different following text, and then everything goes right back to being the same. So most of the choices don't matter. You do get some endings based on some of the choices, though, and they're going to be pretty fucking obvious. But yeah, I think it's a good, fun little game. Totally worth it.
Cool. All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Congrats, everyone. We did it.
Yay! Go us.
Go team. Music this episode. Fucking Tiberian Suns. Why not, right? Let's do that. Love doing Tiberian Suns music.
Yeah, all right.
Sounds good with me.
All right. Cool. Thanks to Ryan for coming on the show, doing his thing. Thanks to thanks to Bree for being here. Thanks to you two chuckleheads for being here, hanging out. Keep me company.
No problem. We got nothing else doing on a Thursday night, apparently.
Yeah. Well, Aki's going to have stuff to do next week.
Please don't remind me of what I've gotten myself into.
What? How much more Gunpla did you buy this time?
No comments.
Oh, geez. Did you?
Of course she did.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit.
Oh,
do I have money coming? What can I do? It was only like $110 worth. Okay, leave me alone.
That's not. Do you have any final words to end the show?
No.
I have a coup d'etat in my pants.
Oh, God.